This is Fresh Air. Bret Easton Ellis used to be typed as a member of the literary Brat Pack. His novel Less Than Zero was published when he was 19. His second novel was a critical and commercial flop. But it seems everyone has an opinion of his new novel, American Psycho. The story is told from the perspective of Patrick Bateman, a 26-year-old who works on Wall Street. He spends half his life absorbed with the designer names that stand for money and refinement. And the other half of his life is spent torturing, sexually mutilating, and murdering women. The gruesome descriptions are so detailed, the episodes of mutilation so numerous, that many readers have been outraged. The original publisher, Simon & Schuster, dropped the book at the last minute. It was picked up by Vintage soon after. As for the literary reviews, Jonathan Yardley of the Washington Post called the book loathsome, a bloodbath serving no purpose save that of morbidity, titillation, and sensation. But in the New York Times, Christopher Lehmanhaupt doubted the book was written with commercial exploitation in mind. If so, commercialism has never before produced anything so boring. One of the more charitable reviews came from Norman Mailer, who basically said the novel wasn't well written enough to be great art, but not so badly written that he could simply reject it. I asked Ellis what effect the controversy was having on him personally.
There have been a few death threats, but other than that, most people in publishing, whether they like the book or not, have been fairly supportive. And it's not been that rough a time.
What freedom of speech issues do you think the controversy surrounding your book raises?
I don't see it as raising any freedom of speech issues. That, to me, just isn't applicable to this. I think that's a confusing question to me because I just don't see how it comes into play.
Well, now is calling for a boycott against your publisher because of your book.
Which is absolutely ridiculous. I mean, I have a very hard time taking now and this so-called boycott seriously. I don't understand it. What are we asking here? Should I be allowed to have written this book? Is that what it comes down to? Well, yeah, I think I should have been allowed to have written this book, and a publisher has every right to either decide to publish the book or not to publish the book, just like every reader has a right to buy the book or not to buy the book.
The serial killers' mutilations and murders are described in very explicit language, and there's many episodes of the mutilation and murder that he carries out. I guess I'd be really interested in hearing what it was that you were going through that made you want to enter this character's mind in such a detailed kind of way.
Well, when I first decided to write this book, I knew that I wanted to write a first-person narrated novel from the point of view of a serial killer. Now, why that character came into my head and why he intrigued me, I don't know. There might be a million reasons. It's very hard to verbalize why you choose a subject or why a subject chooses you. I can't say.
I always assume that when a writer gets really deeply involved with a certain subject matter, that it's something that they deeply care about in one way or another. Either it's something that really frightens them, or it's something that's a part of themselves. It's something that haunts them, or that they're passionate about, or whatever. And I guess I'm curious about where your obsession with your character's obsession comes from. If it comes from a fear, from a nightmare, from something you were trying to purge from your own personality, or what?
Well, I don't know. I tend to see it on a much more conceptual level than that. I mean, to me, what keeps me going when I'm writing a novel is not so much, well, at least not yet in my career, but so far it has not been whether I love the characters or whether I think this is a really neat narrative and I can't wait to see where it's going. I'm more or less interested in the language of the book and catching the rhythms of speech of whatever narrator I've chosen to write about. So to me, I'm much more interested in, I don't know, structure, language. To me, those, right now, at this point in my career, I'm far more interested in, I guess, the holding blocks, the building blocks that make up a book, rather than, I don't know, characterization, narrative.
You've spent 3 years writing the book, and it's a, you know, it's a book of very intense subject matter and very detailed, brutal descriptions. And you put yourself through this for a long time. You put yourself through the research about serial mm-hmm. killers and violence, and then put yourself through having to imagine all of this in vivid detail yourself. And I still don't feel like I really understand what it was that so fascinated you about the character that you created. And I'm not asking that in an accusatory way. Mm-hmm. It's just what I'd ask any writer who spent the amount of time that you spent on a subject that requires such a kind of leap of the imagination.
But in many ways, I don't see this as a book solely about a serial killer. And I guess in many ways, I think what you're asking is, what brought you to stick with this character for 3 years? And I don't know. I mean, the book is not autobiographical in any sense, but in many ways, it, I guess, kind of defines my take on a certain time, which is the 1980s, in a certain place, which was basically Wall Street in Manhattan. And I guess the ugliness of the book reflects my take on that.
Still, though, I mean, when you're dealing with somebody who stabs someone in the eyeballs, drills out their teeth, rapes somebody with rats, sticks things in there in every imaginable orifice, I mean, there's something beyond my interest in Wall Street, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? Mm-hmm. Or in the consumer culture of the 80s that's leading to that. And mm-hmm. I guess I don't feel like I know yet what it is. And again, I'd accept if you didn't know mm-hmm. it either, but you know, it's just beyond, it seems to me it goes beyond like my take on the 80s.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, no, I can totally understand that. I don't know. I mean,
I feel funny here, like I'm putting you on the spot.
No,
I don't think an author should be forced to explain themselves.
Not at all. But
it's like what I'd really like to hear about.
In many ways, those scenes, the scenes that a lot of people have objected to, I don't know. In many ways, I guess you can look at them metaphorically. I mean, I guess you can look at them as solely as expressions of Patrick's rage. To me, that's basically it in many ways. I mean, of course, there's a lot of undercurrents to those scenes also, but I think in many ways, the violence in those sequences to me seems so... I don't know. So it's almost abstract to me. I mean, it's almost so over the top that it becomes abstract. And something I was thinking about while writing it was wondering how desensitized our culture is toward violence. And does violence really shock us anymore?
Did you want to shock your readers?
Well, I don't know if I wanted to shock my readers. Maybe I wanted to shock myself. Maybe
did you
I
shock yourself?
Yeah. It's true. No, I was shocked.
And what was your reaction when you started shocking yourself? Did you want to withdraw from the material, or did it lead you deeper into it?
I was so upset by it at first that the only way I could approach it was to, I guess, intellectualize it and alienate myself from it as much as possible.
My guest is Bret Easton Ellis, author of the new novel American Psycho. More after the short break. This is Fresh Air. Novelist Bret Easton Ellis is my guest. I've called the hotline from the Los Angeles chapter of the National Organization for Women, and they have like a 17-minute message on the hotline that tells people calling
disgusting.
In how they can call your publisher and your agent and so on. And then they read, the head of the chapter reads an excerpt of your book to show...
Oh, my God.
To show like how vile she thinks it
yes.
is. Have you heard it? Have you called the number?
Well, I actually did call it in, I guess it was November or early December when they started doing this. I don't know what I can say. I mean, I am not, or I don't think I ever will write a novel that's going to, I don't know, appease women? I mean, I'm going to sit down and write a novel that purposefully will not offend a woman's sensibility. That makes no sense to me. I mean, I think this book would be far more offensive to serial killers than it would be to women. I mean, that's something that still shocks me to this day, that again now, and especially, I guess, Tammy Bruce, who's the head of the LA Coalition of Now, seem to think that I am Patrick Bateman, and because of that, this book should be banned or boycotted or whatever, and so should a lot of other product from Knopf and vintage books.
What
is ridiculous.
What the head of Now, of the LA chapter of Now, says on the tape is that the book presents in a nonchalant, sexually exciting way the torture of women simply because they're women.
Well, I don't know. I mean, would this whole, fiasco have started if Patrick Bateman was gay and was killing young men? I mean, the fact that I even have to ask that question just makes me cringe. But I don't know. Would people be outraged then if he was committing the same sort of hideous acts on young men? I don't know. But
Do you think it's unfair to ask a writer to think about things like that?
I think it's unfair to ask a writer why he wrote something.
Mm-hmm.
Because that automatically suggests that you've done something wrong, that you've been bad. And I would never ask someone who, I don't know, wrote a song, a play, whatever. I would never ask them why they wrote something. I mean, I would hope most people are adult enough to realize that a lot of art speaks for itself. And you can make up your own minds about it, and you don't need the writer there hand-holding you through this experience.
Bret Easton Ellis is the author of the new novel American Psycho. This is Fresh Air.